The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50pm. Gordon Brown, John Babb and Gary Capewell will be in the studio. It's Yarmouth and Brighton in the afternoon, Leicester and Worcester domestically in the evening, and there's Irish racing from Sligo as well. So plenty of racing to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio, Mr. Gordon Brown. How are you, Gordy?
I'm very well. My name is Gordon Brown. My name is Michael Kine.
Yeah, I should do it like, yeah. My name is Mark Walton, and we're going to look at racing.
Yeah. My name is Michael Kine. That's a line from a song, isn't it?
It was on the Fast Show, wasn't it?
Yeah, the
old TV programme.
Yeah, good stuff. Started a great week, isn't it? York week.
Yes, a great week coming up. And we're going to do the Monday Jory as well on this edition of the podcast, and it's very much centred around the Ebor meeting at York. The good news is about York that both Hillstar and Toronado are set to take on Alkazim in the Judmont International. So let's get stuck into the first question of the Monday Jory, which is Alkazim unstoppable in the International, regardless of who takes him on?
I'm not saying he's unstoppable, but I think he'll take a load of beatings. That's hard, it's hard to find faults with him, to be honest. Toronado up against him, as you say. I mean, they're all seeming to keen to come and take him on. But I think he is pretty classy. He won the Eclipse, didn't he? The Prince of Wales at Royal Ascot. Toronado has been one of the stars of the flat season, but I just think Alkazim will be different class. And in many ways, I hope he is, because, we need all the stars. And a great race will be in prospect, but I hope something wins it and, impresses. And for me, Alkazim is the one, it's a dreadful phrase, but has ticks in the right boxes and oozes class.
Alkazim is currently the even money favourite for the Judmont International with us at William Hill. Toronado is 2-1 second favourite, Trading Leather 7s, Declaration of War and Hillstar both 10s, and 100-1 for the outsider rewarded. I think Alkazim probably will win. It's interesting to see if Toronado will handle the step up in trip, and I kind of, in a way, hope that he doesn't, and then he stays at a mile and we'll see him clash with Don approach some more.
Yeah, I think it's Richard Hughes, the jockey, who wants to step up and trip. I think Richard Hannon, the trainer's happy for him to stay at a mile. He's got that magnificent thrust over a mile. Hughes, he thinks he'll stay further. I mean, I'm a great believer in that. If you're if you're good at what you do, why change the recipe? I mean, he's not unstoppable at a mile, but he is what he is at a mile, and we know how well, supremely well, he operates at a mile. But Richard Hughes says, he's worth a step up to a mile and a quarter. Who am I to disagree? I still think Alkazim, though, he'd been impressive all season. If they both come into the final furlong neck and neck, it could be quite a finish.
Yes, it's something to look forward to later on in the week. Also at York, we have the Yorkshire Oaks, and it looks a tough one to call this year. But what is your call, Gordy?
We're not sure about Running Blands, to be honest. I mean, Cecil's won the race plenty of times. Wild Coco could be a winner for his widow, Lady Cecil. That would be a very emotive victory on the names. This time last year, Sir Henry was there looking desperately ill, so he's won the race and made it his own. And if the Yard won it with Wild Coco, the Goodwood winner. A lot of people fancy Talent in the race, and a lot of people think the Fugue. She's been unlucky not to have won an Oaks, and she won the Nassau Stakes, and I think she'd be a popular winner, to be honest. I think it's a competitive good renewal, and you've got Venus De Milo from Ballydoyle as well. He's got a good record on the Knavesmire from Ireland, but my heart says the Cecil Yard for Warren Place with Wild Coco. My head says horses like Talent and the Fugue. I think those could be the three. In what order they finish in? Well, as I say, at this moment, I wouldn't like to say.
Yeah, I quite like Wild Coco, and the Fugue went very close in the race last year as well, didn't she? So it'd be good to see her come and have another crack at it. But yeah, shaping up to be a very interesting Yorkshire Oaks this year. The big race, one of the big races of the meeting, is the Nunthorpe as well. And who do you fancy in that, Gordy?
local hero would be that movie star, wouldn't it, for Brian Smart? Paul Mulrennan, a great friend of us here at William Hill Radio Rides, and Harry Redknapp's one of the owners, one of the partners involved. Soul Power and Shay Shay, though, for me, old rivals here. You can just see it written in the stars. Shay Shay ridden by Frankie, jockey that normally rides it suspended. Frankie's got the call. We saw a flying dismount the other day in France. I mean, you know, first season riding at York without the backing of the Godolphin battalions, you could just see a flying dismount in the winner's enclosure in a Group 1 race for Frankie. Shay Shay, of course, trained by Mike de Kock, isn't it?
Yeah.
And as I say, in great form and a great spare ride, you've got to say, for Frankie. There's still nobody better, I think, on the big stage when it comes to the crunch. If he's on the right horse, he doesn't make many mistakes in Group 1 and Classics, does Frankie. So Shay Shay to win, and I'd love to see Movie Star run big race there for the Hambleton connections, Brian Smart and Paul Mulrennan.
OK, Shay Shay currently the 7-2 favourite on the anti-force betting. Soul Power 4-1, Movie Star is 5-1, Sled Power and Swiss Spirit both 7s, 12-1 for Kingsgate Native, and Tickle Pink, and then 14-1 or bigger prices the rest. So no real surprises in the betting there. We'll give you two against the field in the Ebor, Gordy. Nice and generous there. Which two is it?
Well, I see quite a lot of people are going for Caravan Rolls, so that would have to be one. It's a rough race. It's a competitive race. You need loads. I know it's a staying handicap, but Caravan Rolls has got, he's lightly raced all season. Ran quite well at Ascot the other day, so certainly Caravan Rolls, and maybe Harris Tweed. Won well at Goodwood last time. He's gone up a fair bit for that, £10 to be precise. But Omaha has the £4 penalty. It's in Saturday, isn't it? The Ebor.
Yeah.
So two there in a fiercely competitive handicap. It can often be a rough race. It can often produce quite a lot of hard luck stories. But with the run of the race, with luck in the favour, Caravan Rolls and Harris Tweed.
Okay. Opinion currently the 7-1 favourite. Palasita is 8-1. No Heretic and Sheikh Zayed Road and Tiger Cliff and Well Sharp all 10-1. 12s for Sun Central, Caravan Rolls on and Ted Veal are both 14s, and then 16-1 or bigger prices. The rest, that includes Harris Tweed as well, 16-1, who was impressive at Goodwood. Do weekend winners Dandina and Royal Empire make any Melbourne Cup appeal?
It's a long way to the Melbourne Cup,
isn't it?
I mean, you know, Santa Claus comes shortly after that. I mean, we haven't had York, we haven't had the Ledger Festival. There's plenty of water to go under the bridge before the Melbourne Cup. But there's quite a few names in there. Dandino, as you mentioned, he could be very interesting. Winning in Chicago there at the weekend, he's certainly going the right way. I think that was the American St. Ledger they call that, isn't
it? Yeah.
And six-year-olds have actually won the last three Melbourne Cups, so fits the profile in that respect. And Royal Empire has won quite well in a messy sort of race, hasn't he? Dandino is impressive, but Royal Empire did it sort of more grinding it out. He's got form sort of globally as well, which I think helps, in Hong Kong, for example. So we know he travels. So yeah, at this stage, you've got to say Dandino and Royal Empire would make plenty of appeal in the Melbourne Cup. But you know, you've got to see the home runners down there. I mean, they hate us, Poms and Irish and people nicking their race. Well, I don't know if we have nicked it yet, have we, the Melbourne Cup? But the Irish have. I don't think the Brits have. But at the moment, they'd make appeal, but I'd be amazed if there wasn't something in Australia that's going to come up trumps nearer the time.
OK, and the final question is, what's your verdict on the new Derby favourite Free Eagle, and Newbury winner Somewhat?
Well, funny enough, I was in here when Free Eagle made his impressive winning debut on the racecourse last week. And if I remember right, he was quite easy to back, but he absolutely slaughtered them. A son of High Chaparral, who, of course, won the Derby. But, you know, is it April Fool's Day? We're talking about the Derby, the eve of the York Festival, and we're talking about a race that's taking place on the first Saturday in June 2014.
Yes.
Yeah, he was impressive, but it's a long way to go, and it's a long way to wait with an anti-post voucher on a favourite for a race that's next summer.
Yes. It certainly is. So we'll revisit the Derby maybe next season when it actually happens.
Yeah.
Just a bit of news as well. As we were recording, it's been confirmed that Toronado will clash with Al Kazim in the international. So
there you are,
good
then.
News there. It's warming up nicely for York. And a bit of news on the jumping front as well, but quickly before we move on to Tuesday's racing. Big books on course for a January comeback. So good news for racing, for jumps fans and big books fans in particular.
Yep, a January comeback. Remember, this is the horse that had his... did he have the whole season curtailed through injury, or did he not run again? I think he might have. He sustained a Lendig injury in December last year. In fact, I remember we're going to our Christmas dinner. I don't know if you were actually at that, and the news broke on the phones that night. Or yeah. Sorry, you weren't invited to that. That's, and that's one of the many things that you didn't get an invite to my mates.
Put me back in my cupboard.
Yeah. So he's due to parade at Paul Nicholls Owners Day on the 1st of September and at the Jumps Legend Day at Chepstow in October. And apparently he's very well. So he'll not be ready to go to Newbury for the Hennessy meeting. It's unlikely he'd make it to Ascot. But apparently it's going to be the Cleve Hurdle at Cheltenham in January and then straight back to the World Hurdle again. So terrific stuff.
Yeah, bidding for a fifth World Hurdle, that would be something, wouldn't it?
Would be.
Right, we'll leave that there and let's look ahead to Tuesday's action then. Tuesday the 20th of August, we're going to look at racing from Yarmouth, Brighton and Worcester, one from each venue. And the first race that we're going to look at is the 4 o'clock at Yarmouth, and this is a Class 5 handicap over the extended 5 furlongs. And we've got a horse very much in form, likely to be near the top of the betting, in the shape of Excellent Aim, Gordy.
Yeah, it's been in really good form. Won its last couple of races, actually, at Brighton. He's gone up a total of £13 for those two wins at Brighton. And I think he's a horse who's going to take a fair bit of stopping. Green Monkey has got winning form. Wasn't beaten too far in between winning at Donny and here at Yarmouth. Green Monkey for James Fanshawe and Shane Kelly. And Million Faces, the top weight, makes a reappearance. Hasn't been seen out for 415 days, but went into hibernation off the back of winning at Windsor. I'm going to take a chance here with Million Faces. Chris Catlin rides Yarmouth very well. Ray Guest can get them ready first time. I'd be scared of Excellent Aim. Whether the Brighton form travels or not, we'll soon find out. Green Monkey's in excellent form. I can see that one being in the mix again without being good enough to win. Million Faces to make a winning reappearance after that long absence.
Okay, Million Faces in the 4 o'clock. Plenty of winning form in there. It could be an interesting little race despite only being 5 runners. To Brighton we go next for the 5.15 and this is a Class 6 handicap over the extended 5 furlongs. And should we start here with Royal Bajan, Gordy, who's got a penalty to defy for the air success last time, but I understand you were at air and you were quite impressed.
I was very impressed with him. He made all. He was very impressive. Cheek pieces on for the first time. He was very impressive, and if I remember right, he landed a bit of a touch. He's got 10 stone 2, including that £6 penalty. And as I say, there was a lot to like about him. He might have had the run of the race, but I'm going to put it this way: I wouldn't like to be backing against him. Imaginary Diva, whereas Royal Bajan will be involved in setting the fractions from the front end. This is a hold-up horse, a winner over course and distance, who won nicely coming from off the pace last time. Imaginary Diva, another George Margeson horse that could be fancied tomorrow. And the Strig, who's got winning course and distance form back in July, has since then just been in and out of form. If that bounced back, that would have a serious chance. But as I mentioned, I was very taken by Royal Bajan and James Sullivan at AIL last time. £6 penalty. And if the cheek pieces work again, could be hard to peg back.
OK. And we're going jumping in the 5.40 at Worcester. This is a Class 4 handicap chase over 2.5 miles. 6 of them in the lineup here, Gordian. It's quite a tricky little race, this.
Tricky little race. There's quite a few small field races, jumping and flat, come up on Tuesday. This is the handicap chase over 2.5 miles. Surf and Turf is the likely favourite, I'd imagine, for John O'Neill and JP McManus and that man Tony McCoy. They had the pieces on last time and it finished third at Stratford. It's also got winning course and distance form at Worcester back early in the summer. G'day is Fergal O'Brien and Paddy Brennan. That's just been knocking into the money on a couple of beginners chases here at Worcester over 2 miles, and then on its chase debut, he talks to her over this trip. This is the first handicap. I'm going to go for G'day for Paddy Brennan to beat the probable favourite Surf and Turf, and another one that might run into place might run well, two places only with 6 runners, Suburban Bay, for Aaron King and Wayne Hutchison. Pulled up last time at Southwell. Up last time at Southwell over 3 miles. It's back in trip here. Wouldn't be the first horse that didn't run well at Southwell over jumps. There's some odd jumps results come from Southwell. So Suburban Bay could come back to form and might run quite well. Surf and Turf will be quite a short price. But good day for me in its first handicap over fences for O'Brien and Brennan.
OK. A quick summary then, Goddy, if you would be so kind, just before you go, if you want to give us your three selections one more time.
Yeah, I've forgotten them. In the 4 o'clock at Yarmouth, I'm going there for Million Faces. OK, that's number one, Million Faces. Brighton 5.15, I've got to go for the impressive air winner, number one, Royal Bayesian. And perhaps maybe an interesting one at Worcester in the 5.40, the handicap chase over 2.5 miles, the handicap debutant, Godai Sport.
Good work, Gordy. Thank you very much, and enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thank you.
Gordon Brown there, then, looking ahead to Tuesday's racing, all of which can be heard on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. It will be Gordon Brown in the studio, and he'll be joined by John Babb and Gary Capewell. Yarmouth and Brighton in the afternoon, Leicester and Worcester domestically in the evening, and there's also Irish racing on Tuesday evening as well from Sligo. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.